Hello and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Score, the podcast that brings you the views and opinion of those in the news, brought to you by Khelna. I'm your host, Ashish Negi. Our guest today is one of the highly regarded foreign coaches in Indian football. Started his career as a left back, he represented teams like Aberdeen and Rangers in the Scottish Premier League and Leeds United in England. Coming to India as a coach in 2017, he has taken his team from strength to strength, winning many admirers along the way. It's a warm welcome to Real Kashmir head coach David Robertson. Hi David, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Very good, yeah. And under the circumstances, I'm pretty good, yes.
Yeah, so let's talk about your move to India, you know, a bit surprising for many. I'm sure for especially your family and your friends also. So how this happened, you know, coming to I-League second division club from Europe?
Yeah, well, I was actually living in the USA at the time. And I got a call from an agent asking if I'd be interested in coming to a new club, Real Kashmir. Around about that time, I had similar offers in Uganda and China, but I just think the, you know, the appeal of a new club, although at the time I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I did no research on Kashmir, India, nothing. Obviously, I was finishing a 10-year stint in the USA, and previous to that, I'd lived in Scotland and England, so it was a big adventure, and you know, and I think as we go along, you'll find that I'm a guy that will always try something a little bit different. And my time at Real Kashmir has been certainly more than different, that's for sure.
You know, and basically, a second division clubs. Did you have any second thoughts when you received this offer? Because there's ISL, there's I-League going on at the same time.
Yeah, no. As I say, I didn't know much about the leagues, the I-League, the ISL. I did know that like Del Piero, Roberto Carlos were in the ISL. But I knew that this was like a brand new club. And often, you know, when I first started my coaching at Elgin City and Montrose, those clubs are almost like established and they are where they are. You know, you can't really improve them too much. But I felt that a brand new club, then, you know, I'm not saying the sky's the limit, but you've got a chance of doing things your own way. You've got a chance of just, you know, starting things from scratch. And I didn't really realise at the time that how far, you know, away from professional football Real Kashmir were in terms of facilities, infrastructure, everything. And, you know, things I've taken for granted in previous places, you know, you get a rude awakening. Well, I did when I came to India, just basically the fact that there was nothing in place. And we basically had to start from scratch. And it's amazing, really, to see where we are today. And you know, I've been proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, so I think it's just about the new club and the challenge you accepted. So you talked about there was nothing on place. So what are the major challenges other than infrastructure? Of course, playing in Kashmir was something which not heard of in recent times in Indian football. Of course, there was a huge football, passionate fan followers are there in Delhi. But what are the major challenges you faced, you know, when you just came for the second division league?
Well, I think the major part was that I thought everywhere in India was hot and sunny. And I arrived in Kashmir, I think it was early January 2017. There was, you know, it was cold, it was bleak. You know, I arrived, first of all, in Delhi airport. And, you know, you think it's a nice cosmopolitan airport. And you think, oh, so I'm going to enjoy this time here. Then, obviously, you reach the airport in Srinagar. It's obviously a military airport. That took a bit of a shock to my system. You know, obviously, the guys, army with the guns, and then obviously you come out of the roads and there's cows and donkeys and all sorts, something that I'd never ever seen before. And obviously the traffic, anywhere in India, the traffic's busy. But I think, you know, the first couple of days, I found it very difficult based on the fact that internet was very patchy at best. So, you know, obviously my wife wasn't too happy that I took the option to go to Kashmir. She wasn't happy at the time. So, you know, even just being able to contact my family in the USA was very, very difficult. And at that time of the year as well, power goes out, you know, 2-3 times a day for 2 hours. Powers, you know, there's power cuts. And that's, you know, as I said before, it's almost like, you know, I think when I came to India, I really appreciate what I've got in Scotland and in the USA and that types of things. And then after the second day, we couldn't train because there was snow. So that was a bit of a challenge. I mean, again, this is something that, you know, not many people, when I tell these stories at home, people can't believe that, you know, what I've done and how I managed to get through it. you know, there was nowhere. So one of the owners said, okay, what about going to this indoor place the next day? So I thought, okay, fair enough, we'll go to this indoor place. I was expecting at worst a school gym hall. And it turns out it was, I think it was somebody's house we trained in. It was like a tiny room, a green carpet, windows all the way around, two ceiling fans. I had 24 adults in there. Tried to do the best I could, and I later turned out that, say, many years later, well, a couple of years later, I ended up going to a wedding in that house. So, you know, I think what I've learned in my time in India is that you have to adapt to things. You can complain, but I think particularly Real Kashmir, where they were at the time, you know, we had no training kits, you know, equipment was very limited. And I could have complained and moaned about it, but you just got to find a way to adapt and go on with things and make the best of it, because it is what it is. You know, I've taken the, I mean, I've got to change, I had to change a lot the way I was first coming to India, because basically, as I say, it is what it is. And I could have, although having said that, I actually, I think I only coached two games in the first I-League season, because I found it very difficult, obviously the weather, the internet, the culture, everything I found very, very difficult. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, I think it was 4 weeks, I actually went back to the USA, and thankfully the owners persuaded me to come back. But it was, I found it very, very tough at the start, if I'm being honest.
So, you know, when you came, so you have these thoughts of going back, you know, second thoughts, people say, or say some concern over the whole setup. So what convinced you, you know, when owners contacted you regarding the project again? So what did you convince you to come back, you know, even knowing the situation of the surrounding around you?
Yeah, well, I think initially when I went home, I just felt I needed to get home, just to sort things out at home, and obviously just to get away and think about things. And, you know, and Sandeep and Shamim both said to me, look, we want you to come back. But by then, one of the reasons I found it difficult was when I first went over, you know, culturally it was very, very different to what I'm used to. I didn't know anyone, but by the time the 3 or 4 weeks came to an end, I got to know people, and they are good people. So I had a little bit of a tie up and a bit of an emotional attachment at that point. And then when they asked me to come back, so the idea was I would come back and train. I had to organise some games in Scotland, so the team came to Scotland, and then I also had to train the team. That was tough during Ramadan as well, to give them a bit of pre-season to go to Scotland. So that made it a little bit more exciting. Obviously, taking a team to my home place, that helped a lot. But, you know, I think as soon as I got to know the people involved in the club, as I say, they're good people, and I just wanted to help them. And obviously the players, and you know, some of the local players that are still with the team today, you know, you feel as if you owe it to them, because, you know, I'm not the type of person that runs away from things. I always knew in the back of my mind that I would come back. So, as I say, I'm glad that I did come back.
Yeah. So you came back, you organized the pre-season. So what was the first impression of quality of Indian football, you know, from Real Kashmir side and then from your opponent side also? You know, this is very early when you played in second division.
Yeah, when I played the first season in second division, I found it very, obviously it was just different. We didn't play any home games because of the weather. We played two games in Ambedkar Stadium, I think Sudev, maybe Delhi United we played. And we lost both games, but I walked into a team that I didn't know. I didn't know any of the staff. I didn't know any of the players. And we had two foreign players with Lago, who ended up going to Minerva Punjab. And we had Tamba, obviously from an African country. So it was very difficult because I only had a week or so to work with the players. And to be honest with you, I didn't really know much about the league. But I know the league was strong, you know. And I think over the years, what I found in India is that when you watch a player, you can actually tell what state they come from, just based on their physique, their technique, their ability, everything. It's strange how you can actually tell. Obviously, I've been here for almost 4 years now. So, the level was very, very good, and I was actually surprised the level of how good the level was.
And you know, so your first season in I-League Second Division went very good. You know, you won the promotion, if I'm right. Yeah. And then coming to I-League also. But before moving into I-League, you know, I just want to know, Kashmir is known as the paradise in the earth. They say if there is anywhere paradise, it's Kashmir. How was Kashmir for you? You know, it is a news for some bad stuff also, but its beauty and people are, I come from mountain place, you know, so I understand how the local people are. How is Kashmir as a whole place for, you know, if somebody asks you today in and around your neighbor in UK or in Scotland about Kashmir, what will you will say?
As I say, I found it hard at the time based on the winter, but, you know, I've been to Gulmarg, been to on the lakes, I've done a lot of things there, and I think the people are very, very warm. As the teams became a little bit better known in Kashmir and Srinagar, people recognise you and you're treated very well, and the supporters are fantastic. And it's funny because, you know, I've been there for, 3-4 years now, and every time I come back to Scotland, you know, it's almost like you're leaving your second home. And I class it really as a second home now. That's how much I like the place, you know. And obviously there's issues, you know, throughout, the years in Srinagar and Kashmir. But, you know, we are very well protected from it. Our owners are, you know, very good at keeping us away from all those kind of things. And you know, a lot of the times we don't really know what's going on. And we just train. We've got a lovely hotel, Sandeep Chattu's hotel that we stay in. A lovely hotel there. You know, the training facilities are good. You know, we've got dressing rooms and floodlights now. And, you know, sometimes we get 20,000 people coming to a game, which is a fantastic achievement. It's actually a fantastic atmosphere because it's almost like a European atmosphere. It's very raw, and, you know, the passion the supporters have got and the smiles on their faces. And I think the club's done a lot of good for the state of Kashmir as a whole. But I do feel that we are, at the start, I was very dubious about the whole thing, but I'm glad that I've stuck out. And as I say, it's a second home for me.
Yeah, so Kashmir has its own difficulties, but there is, people say, you know, football can bring that peace in Kashmir. We've got to put youngsters on the right path. And do you feel so, yeah, saying, because you have lots of local Kashmiri players, so how did you, manage them to focus on football, not on something else?
Kashmir, the players that I deal with, even at the start, you know, there's not many of them left. There's only a handful left from the outset. But I feel that football is their passion. And I always feel that up until Real Kashmir, you know, there was Vidu and Ishfaq, the only two players really of any note to come from Kashmir. I just feel that, this has put football on the map as far as Kashmir goes, and it's given a lot more opportunities. You know, obviously the SFA are involved there as well. There's a number of teams, and mostly the JMK Bank, which were heavily rely on them for some players for the season. But it's a good atmosphere, and I think, you know, before there was no pathway for Kashmir players, and now there seems to be. You know, we've got guys like Danish and Farhan that have attracted attention in the ISL, and I think obviously they're going to stay another season with us. But at some point they'll have to move on, whether it's with us or with another ISL club. But it just shows you that if it wasn't for Real Kashmir, those players wouldn't be recognised. And even the players that we signed, that, you know, we've had players that I got on trial in Kolkata, and we've signed players that weren't getting a game in ISL, and so many players have actually left to go and better themselves in the ISL, which is, it's pleasing. But obviously I'd like it to be more Kashmiri based as the players that are getting those opportunities. But the level's good. I think the Kashmiris, you know, physically are big, strong individuals, and I think that's something that's really helped us. You know, we've got Hamad, we've got Khalid, Farhan and Danish, they're all big, strong guys, and, you know, but they've just got a real will to win, and I think it's, you know, it's a real benefit for us.
So you won your first I-League promotion, you know, from I-League second division. How special was that promotion to win in your first season? And what lesson you learned from that promotion?
I learned, it was actually Suman Dutta who, he was helping us coaching-wise, and he said to me at the start, there was only, I think it was 10 league games, and he said, look, you know, the teams you play against, Delhi United and Hindustan, those are the ones that you can't lose. Don't try and force to win. And I think we drew most of the games. I think we beat Delhi once, and we drew twice with Hindustan, and we beat Delhi once. And that turned out to be true, because I think in the second division, if you lose one game, you're basically screwed. So we were very fortunate. We had a lot of draws. And it was the most bizarre thing, because when we went to the playoffs, Hindustan qualified as the best runner-up. and they haven't lost a game. And we went to the last game, and we needed a draw. Hindustan had to win, and neither team had lost a game all season. And you know, it could easily have been Hindustan that had made it. And I think, and even the I League is the main I League. You know, I think it was 20 games or 22 games. It's quite a short season. You know, anywhere else in the world, it's over 30 games, and there's no margin for error. You know, I think our first season we lost maybe two or three games. You know, and we finished third, but it's just I think the important thing is in Indian football is do not lose. I mean, I look at the league that we played in our first season in the I League. I know I'm skipping on a little bit. The fact was that we hardly lost a game, and we knew that we couldn't lose games, and it was so close. Even last season was so close. Going into the last games before the COVID hit, any team could get finished second, and any team could get relegated. So it's such a close league that you can't lose games. That's the most important thing that I found.
Yeah, and you won the promotion, then played two I League till now, and you have basically finished in top half in the both seasons. So what is the main mantra behind this success? You know, situation, conditions around.
To be honest with you, I think the I League two season and the first I League season, I think there was no expectations. You know, it was like a real shock that we won I League two. Everybody thought we'd be fighting for relegation, and it was a real shock that we finished third. You know, up until maybe, you know, the Punjab Minerva Punjab game was called off, and we had to again play a game and against East Bengal in Delhi because of the situation in Kashmir. You know, I'm not saying we could have won the league, but we had that up until near the end. We had a chance of winning the league, but I think that was all based on the fact that there was no expectations on me or the team or the club. It was just like a fairy tale kind of thing. And then I found the biggest change for me was when we played Trow away from home last season in our second I League season. The fact was that that was the first game in the club's history we've been favourites to win a game. We're underdogs in every game. I think we went a goal up, then we went 2-1 down, and then we clawed it back. And I think that's been a turning point for us. The fact is that now, I'm not saying teams fear us, but we're an established team now. The excitement, the unexpected situation is gone now. You know, so we're like an established I-League team now. And with that, there comes a bit of pressure. You know, and I think next season, whenever this season starts, I know it's all going to be in Kolkata, but it could be a short season, you know, and it's going to be a different season. So, but no, we've just got to keep going the way we're going. You know, as I say, we've exceeded all expectations so far, but at some point, you know, the Sandeep in particular, he obviously wants us to try and bring home the championship at some point.
With now no East Bengal and Mohun Bagan in I-League, of course, now you can say Real Kashmir can go as a favourite to win the league also, you know.
Yeah.
Because two big boys are not there. So, just talk about Trow also. So, let's put this thing in the picture here. Kashmir is in the north part of India. India is a huge country. Everybody knows that, mm-hmm. You know. Then you're travelling to east, far east to play Trow. How tough is this, you know, to travelling all across India to play games, you know. Did you find this very difficult to manage?
Well, sometimes based on the times of flights, it's actually quite funny because apart from when we flew to Chandigarh to play Minerva Punjab, that was the only time we had one flight. Everywhere else, we have to fly to Delhi and then fly somewhere else. And sometimes we couldn't get all the players on the same flight, so they were all going in different flights and what have you. And then sometimes we'd have to, you know, we'd leave to Delhi. We leave Srinagar to go to Delhi. And the times of flights, we had to stay overnight in Delhi. And then we had to get a flight to maybe Shillong or Kolkata, Trow, whatever. So basically, we missed 2 days training and we're travelled. And then not only that, when we arrive, we've got to play in, you know, 90 degrees of heat compared to the winter time. So, you know, a lot of people I don't think understand how much it is. Like every result we get away from home is something that's been incredible. You know, we went, I think our first season was easier because we had a lot of away games all grouped together. So we had 45 days on the road. So we just went from Shillong to Kolkata to wherever. But as I say, last season was a little bit more tricky because it was more of a home and away type of thing. And as I say, the flights were a bit of a nightmare. But, you know, it just shows you the players. The players got on with it. There's no issue at all. And that's the one thing we, you know, sometimes we, there was one game we played, I think it was Chennai City, and then we had to fly to Goa, but we had 2 days to get there and play the next day. We lost that game last season. But no one made any excuses. You know, we could easily have said, oh, we're tired, it was a hot place, we haven't had any time to train, because we didn't even train. And the players didn't get loosened up or anything like that. But the players just got on with it. They don't complain. And I think that's, you know, if you were to reverse the roles and do this in Europe, the players would be complaining all the time. Yeah, spoiled players in Europe.
So Europe, you know, for example, in Premier League and everything, they are just 1 hour flight away, I think maximum 2 hours. And
then
there's, of course, manager complaining about traveling time, you know. Sometimes that,
that's
you
right.
Know,
yeah.
But when you see in India, the travel time is huge compared to other places. You talked about away disadvantage. What about home advantage for you? For teams like Chennai City, Goa, to play in Kashmir, where is its temperature is very low, altitude is high, so it's always tough to play in places like this. Have other teams complained to you about this away advantage, home advantage you're getting?
I think that the toughest part is when it's really cold. I remember, I think Chennai City came last season, and twice they came, and you could tell that they didn't enjoy being there. It was very cold, because during our stadium looks good when it's full, when there's a lot of people there. It's great on a game day, but when you train the day or two before, it's bleak and it's cold. It's quite miserable, really. And you know, you get like Churchill Brothers coming up. You know, they used to Goa and you know, Gokulam for the Kerala and all that places. You know, they come to Srinagar, and I think that the airport as a whole, when you first get in and it's cold and you see the situation there, it's I think it's quite intimidating. But I think once you've come once to play there, it's easy after that. But it has been an advantage, although our first season in the I-League, we never lost an away game. I think we lost two home games at home. So our away form is actually better. But it is. It's hard in the altitude as well. I know even my players, when they, if they've come from another, like we had Subhash Singh, he struggled with the altitude. We had him last year. He didn't do as well as we expected. And I know he's at Mohammed in Sporting now, and he went back to Naroka and did well. I think he found it very, very difficult. Just the altitude, the constant, you know, the cold, breathing can be difficult. My son finds it the first couple of weeks when he arrives. All the players complain about pains in their chest, and but you know, as the time gets on, they get used to it. So it is an advantage. So I think, you know, playing in Kolkata this year, we'll lose that a little bit.
So what this was the reason behind your emphasis on the local players, that you have tried to get more local players in, gel them together with foreigners? Was this was the main reason behind the getting more local players?
Well, we need to. Obviously, we need. I think the infrastructure in Srinagar, Kashmir, has to be better for youth players. You know, I've been encouraged, or you know, I wouldn't say forced, encouraged to put more local players in, but they have to be of a level that they can go and compete. Because you know, the last thing I want is for the club to get relegated, because I know how difficult it is to get up there. And sometimes sentiment has to go out the window. We've got, obviously, we've got Danish Farham, we've got Hamad, we've got Khaled Ujabar, and we're adding two more local players this year to the squad, so that'll help us a little bit. But I think the main aim in years to come, whether I'm still at the club or not, is to have more Kashmiris. You know, you look at the northeast clubs, Naroka, Trau, a lot of them are local players, and I think that's the main aim, is to have more local players. I think next season probably have about 8 or 9 local players in the squad. But obviously we want to increase that as time goes on. But the players have to be good enough.
Yeah. And what is the major difference you found between I-League, second division and I-League? You know, now you have played in second division, you've also played in 2 seasons in I-League. What are the major differences you have found in between both the leagues?
Yeah, well, I think obviously there's, up until now, there was more foreign players. There were 6 foreign players. So, no disrespect to players in India, but the level goes up. I always found that a lot, particularly African players, you know, it's very difficult for those players to get visas in Europe. and it's easier in India for them. And there's players, that particularly African players that have come in, that have actually made the level a lot better. And I think they've learnt a lot with, you know, I know for a fact my Kashmiri players have learnt a lot professionalism from the foreign players that have come in, how they look after themselves and how they focus on games. But I think, this is just my opinion, I think there's better foreign players in the I-League than there is in the ISL, just based on the criteria they had before. But I think the better Indian players go and play in the ISL. So, you know, I think for us, or for I-League clubs, it's almost like getting the best Indian players you can. And if they're good, you've done your job, but you know you're going to lose them to the ISL the following season. So the Indian players, it's a constant revolving door. But it's just, as I say, it's something that you have to get used to. But obviously the foreign rules changing again this year.
Yeah, I think that's what they're saying, 3+1. We'll talk about it a bit later. So one of the foreigners you signed is your own son, Mason Robertson. So, of course, convincing your son might be easy, but how did you convince other foreigners, which you brought in, to come to India and then come to Kashmir to play football? What, do you face any challenges?
Well, not so far. No, I think most of the players that we've tried to get, obviously we heavily rely on Instat, the program, and also agents, you know, but I think a lot of it has to do with, like, I've been lucky in the foreign players I've brought in, they've all been successful. I think it's just a gut feeling because you're going on, you know, like, limited video evidence to see if they're good enough. But I think because visas are a bit easier to get in India, it's easier to persuade these players to come. And when I come to signing foreign players, you know, I say to them, look, in Kashmir, you'll find it very, very difficult. It's a lovely place, but, you know, living, the internet goes. I'm honest with them all and tell them exactly. And they're all keen to come. And they all understand the situation before they come in. You know, so far, I mean, we had Callum Higginbottom last year from England and of Scotland. He found it difficult, but he stuck through it. He loved the experience. Obviously, the financial part of it was good for him. He did well when he was here, but, you know, it's almost like he knows it's not for him after a year. So it can be tough, but I think it's the African players it's easier to get. Plus, if you get, you know, some players that have played in the league for a number of years, it's obviously it's easier to persuade those guys as well.
Yeah, so, and what about your son? How did you convince him?
Well, he was playing in the lower leagues in Scotland, but he came from the USA, played in college, and did one of the top college programs there. He came, when I went to Kashmir, he came back to Scotland and, you know, went in a few trials, and he was unlucky with dates and fitness and games getting called off, because I reckon he probably could have played in the top league in Scotland. And due to the fact that he was an amateur playing in the USA with his college team, he was a free agent, but you can't, in the top two leagues in Scotland, an amateur can't play in the top league, and you can't change your status if you're out of contract from a professional to an amateur. So he ended up having to play in the, I think it was League One at that point. He did well, then he went to another team. And just based the fact that we got promoted to the I-League, the owners, basically, it was them that convinced me to try and take Mason there. Because it's always a gamble to take your own son, not only just for him or the club, but, you know, my family as well. You know, my wife, I didn't want her being annoyed if he went there and he wasn't good enough, he doesn't play. But I've been fortunate enough that he came in and he settled in very well. And he's been good for me based on the fact that, even though I don't see a lot of him because he's always with the other players, just knowing that there's a familiar face there. Because the last 2 years, or sorry, two seasons, it's been 8 months being away from home, which is hard. And having him, obviously we missed Christmas as well there. So, but he's adapted really well. He's a typical, you know, young boy that likes to play the PlayStation, eats, plays football. It's almost a dream for him.
Yeah. So, did he enjoy this move to India? You know, into Kashmir, especially.
Yeah, he loved it. He loved it. I think it's given him a lot of confidence as a player. I think he was a little bit skeptical too. You know, with a level, is he going to be good enough? But I think he's like the club. He's exceeded all expectations, and, you know, he's had a number of offers to go to the ISL, but you know, unfortunate enough for me, he's managed to stay, and also the owners have, you know, found a way to keep him at the club as well, which has been a big help for me.
Yeah. So talking about owners at the club, you know, can you tell the our viewers and listeners about the work club is doing in the community of Kashmir, whole state basically? Just tell them the
Well, yeah, obviously they're doing a lot at the moment. We started, we've got a youth setup, we've got a youth academy. You know, we're again, like the whole club, we're trying to get a more professional. We're doing outreach sort of things. We even, you know, we go to like schools, you know, maybe deprived areas, do a little bit of community stuff, just a little bit of awareness for the club, but also you're just showing that we care about other people within in Kashmir. We've just started a girls program. I think there's 70 girls playing in the girls program now. And I was told that I think we've got around about, you know, I think it's maybe 1,500 academy players as well. So things are getting there. And we want to have a complete club. You know, we want to have, you know, grassroots all the way to the senior team. And I think the good thing for Kashmir really is the fact that just like I was in Aberdeen and I wanted to play for Aberdeen as a kid, that's your goal, to go and play for Aberdeen. Now, you know, Kashmir have got their own club there. Real Kashmir, that, you know, kids are now dreaming of playing for Real Kashmir, which is something special. You know, 3 or 4 years ago that the club didn't even exist, but you know, we do everything we can. As I say, when we played in I-League 2, we were a new club, no one knew us. We were probably getting about 200 people at a game, but the same people that were going to watch Lone Star. But then we got in the I-League, you know, there's men, there's women, there's kids, there's grandparents, school kids, you name it. There's all walks of life come and watch us play, and they've all got a smile on their face and wear the jerseys and the merchandise. And it's spectacular to see. And after the games, win, lose or draw, everybody goes away happy.
I got surprised when you saw this passion of Kashmiri people for football. Did you get surprised when you saw this first time?
Yeah, I did, because having been in the USA for a number of years, you know, there's baseball, there's basketball, there's football, American football, and soccer was, you know, lower. And I thought when I first came to India that was the case. You know, there's cricket, and there's also what's it called, kabaddi as well. There's all these sort of sports, and I always thought cricket was the top one. But in Kashmir, for some reason, football is the main sport, and I just think Kashmiris are very passionate people anyway. And you know, that there's been times where I remember one game we played Gokulam in our first year. It's the worst, coldest day. It was wet. The ball was sticking. The game probably shouldn't have been played. And the players were absolutely freezing. I remember them coming in at halftime. Ravanan couldn't even feel his feet. Bilal couldn't feel his hands. He was the goalkeeper. And then, you know, you're saying, look at these supporters. And all these supporters are there with umbrellas. They're soaking as well. And they pushed us. We actually won that game. And I put that game down to the support of basically the Kashmiris urging our players on. And I just think that the Kashmiris, it's almost like a European atmosphere. It's really passion, you know, and they'll say things to other teams and they'll encourage their own players. But the one thing is, at the end of our game, win, lose or draw, they're all wanting the players' autographs. And it's just... to be honest, like, a game day is chaos, but it's in a good way.
Worldwide, the media, especially the European, also US media, always relate Kashmir to the something else, which is the political side of it. Mm. After you came to India, now there is something different, you know, to tell everybody about football in Kashmir. How did your friends and everybody around you, when this success story came out, reacted to it? How did they, speak to you about it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, obviously I went there, there was a few raised eyebrows and a few people, you know, are you crazy going there? What are you doing? You've got a nice lifestyle. What are you doing? But I just had a burning ambition to go back into the professional game and the project that was in front of me. I thought it was exciting. And no one really would have expected it to go the way it went. You know, I used to call it a fairy tale, and Sandeep said to me, he says, look, it's not a fairy tale anymore, because fairy tales come to an end and this isn't coming to an end. But no, I think, I mean, obviously there's been a couple of documentaries made. There's some other stuff in India, Bollywood. There's all sorts of things. There's a production company in the UK want to do a drama series on real Kashmir. Obviously Adidas, you know, were the only, the only football team in India with a brand like Adidas. You know, there's been so much, you know, on the internet, on television, all sorts. Just, and I think it's just obviously based on where the club is based, but also the rise to sort of stardom more than anything. And you know, you go around, you drive around Kashmir and in the city of Srinagar, and there's billboards with players on it, Danish and all these guys in the middle of the city centre. But my friends just, you know, they can't believe how much the work it's been done. You know, it's, as I say, it's been an incredible, and my wife too, and obviously my wife wasn't happy that I came at the start, and now she's very, very proud that, you know, her husband and son have been a part of a meteoric rise, really.
So talking about Danish, you know, he is the one of the big success story of Real Kashmir. And he's a now star boy for Kashmir football, in Indian football, especially. Of course, he is attracting interest from ISL and IE clubs. Can you tell us the people about how special talent he is and what we should accept from him once he moves those ladders towards national team debut also, if you can talk about...
I think when I first saw Danish play in I-League 2, actually he was one of the guys that came to Scotland. His style is like a European, a British type of player. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's physical. But the one thing, he obviously is a very talented player. But the one thing I love is his attitude and his work rate. He never stops working. You know, he's right-footed. I'll often play him on the left-hand side because I know he'll get forward, but I know that he'll come back and defend. And I just love his attitude. You know, last season we were stuck at right back. We lost Novin for a little bit of time. I ended up playing Danish there. Didn't have his greatest game, but he didn't complain, and he just went and done it. And then we lost a goal. I put him, moved him to the left side again, and he scored straight away. So he's just a plus. You know, I think for people like Danish, if it wasn't for Real Kashmir, he wouldn't be highlighted as being one of the top players in India. You know, there wouldn't be ISL clubs wanting him. So I think this has been a fantastic thing for him. But at some point, Danish has to, you know, obviously our ambition is to get to the highest level we can as a club. But, you know, I think players like Danish at some point will have to make that jump.
Have any national team coach in the last 3 years, Stephen was there, now Igor Steemer is there, had a chat with you regarding him? Or national team selectors or scouts have... reach out to
No, not as far as I'm aware. No one has spoken to me about any players. I would say Danish he's got the potential. But I also think Farhan Ghani he's one of the Danish's on a level, but I think Farhan is up there as well. He's a holding midfield player. You know, he's a bit of a wayward character at times, but I just love him to death. He's just a fantastic player, great attitude on the pitch. I think he's started every game that I've been in charge of in the I-League. He's just it's very difficult to get a player to play as a holding midfield player. He does it great, but he can play other places. But he's another one that, you know, people talk about Danish, but I think Farhan is certainly somebody that, you know, the national team need to have a look at as well.
We hope so, because we also need very quick players like Danish, a holding midfielder, going ahead. So we talked about you as a coach and David Robertson as a coach. Now let's talk about as a player. You know, you have played for big clubs in Scotland and UK also. Mm-hmm. So let's first talk about Sir Alex Ferguson at Aberdeen, how you were as a player, mm-hmm. and is your coaching style also motivated from his coaching style? And can you tell us about young Sir Alex Ferguson to our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, I mean, Alec Ferguson he spotted me when I was 13 years old. He signed me as a schoolboy at Aberdeen, my home team. I was delighted that it was always my dream to play for Aberdeen, and he made that possible. He gave me my first team debut when I was 17. But I think for Alec Ferguson, I think the most impressive thing that I noticed from him is that he knew every kid in Aberdeen. Every boy, where they played, where they were, everything. And I left primary school, which is before you go into high school. And then I was in a select. And on a Monday night, those players on a Monday night would train at Aberdeen Stadium on an outfield there. And he would always watch the games. And bearing in mind, I was probably 13 or 14. I remember I was at the bus stop going home. He didn't even know who I was, but obviously he did. He came in his flash Mercedes. He stopped and says, "Come on, son, I'll take you home." He didn't even ask where I lived. That's the detail. He knew where I lived, and he took me straight to the door. But there's, you know, he was a perfectionist. There's so many, I've got a lot of stories about him, but I think the one thing that stands out for me is that we played as a youth team at under 18 level. Aberdeen, the first team, had just won the league championship, which was unusual because, you know, it was normally Rangers and Celtic would win it, but Aberdeen won it. But they won it in Edinburgh, so they wanted to present the trophy to the first team in front of their home fans. So it just so happened that our youth team had got to the Scottish Youth Cup final, and it was going to be played at Aberdeen Stadium. So they played it that night, and they presented the trophy. So I remember Willie Garner was the assistant manager to Alec Ferguson. He took the youth team. And we played Celtic, and he said to us before the game, he says, "Look, remember one thing. The first team's here to watch you play. There's about 15,000 people coming to watch you play as well. The manager, Alec Ferguson's coming to watch you. It's a big, big, big night." So we went out there, and half-time comes in, and we were 3-0 down. So Willie Garner, the assistant, comes in and says, "Look, guys, I told you it's a real big night. No more goals. Don't concede. Damage limitation, all that kind of stuff." And as he's talking, the door virtually flies off the hinges, and Alec Ferguson comes in and goes around every player. I mean, I think I was about 14 or 15 at the time, and he shouts and swears and has a go at everybody all the way around. And it was like it took about 5 minutes, but 30 seconds, like a whirlwind. It was straight through. And everybody's going, "Oh, what just happened? What just happened?" So anyway, we won 5-3 after extra time. And he was the first person to come in and congratulate everybody. But it just shows you the guy that he's so passionate. And you look at the times at Manchester United, they've been, look at the Champions League final against Bayern Munich, with a goal down, and they actually go and win it in injury time. You don't lose, and even if you're in a losing position, he finds a way to win. And he's, you know, a lot of coaches, if you win 5-0, "Oh, everything's great, everything's fantastic." But he would come in, and if you've made a mistake, he would torture you for that. He'd just have a real go at you. And you soon learn that the hard way. And, you know, but he looked after me, gave him my first start. You know, you could just tell he was destined for greatness. I mean, even to break the stranglehold that Rangers Celtic had, you know, I mean, you look, I don't know if many people know, but when he was at Aberdeen, he won the European Cup Winners' Cup, beat Real Madrid 3-2-1 in the final, and then the quarterfinals beat Bayern Munich. I was a ball boy that night when they beat up Bayern Munich. But it's just he's a fantastic person, and you know the success he's had has been incredible. And in these early days, you know why he's managed to do it. Just detail. He knows everything. He would go and watch games all over Scotland, even amateur games, and you know he was always learning.
Yeah, and Sir Alex went on to, you know, became, I think, the best manager of all time. There is no doubt about it. And I think you are very early got the Fergie hair dryer treatment, which they say you usually use on the dressing room, and you got it in your youth game. And of course, it is very famous quote all across the Europe. Did you get surprised success you got at United, leaving Scotland and going for one of the biggest club in the world? But to change that, you know, to say Liverpool, they had around 18 Premier League titles, 18 league titles, and now United have 20. So did you get surprised of the success you got in England?
Well, I remember the day he left. It was almost like it was a funeral. The stadium, we trained at the stadium, and everybody went in, and he left, and it was like so dull and depressing and what have you. And he obviously went there. But remember, he took over a Manchester United team that was really struggling, and they weren't doing well at all. He obviously made some changes, got rid of the older players, brought in the young ones. But he was actually quite close to getting sacked. You know, after a couple of years, I think it was a cup game. If they'd lose that game, rumours were he was going to get sacked. But I just think that he had so much belief in his players, and he's a perfectionist. And I think he thoroughly deserves the success that he had.
And Sir Alex left. You also left the Aberdeen to join Rangers, where you won 6 league titles, yeah, if I'm right. And can you tell us, of course, majority of the world football fans in India know about how big club is Rangers is, but can you tell us the, you know, our viewer listener, the stature and the status of Rangers in European football and how special was to win those league titles with Rangers for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was hard for me at the start based on the fact that, you know, I left Aberdeen and one of the biggest rivals is Rangers. So I obviously wasn't very popular with people in Aberdeen. But it was, I remember walking into the dressing room and, I mean, maybe you guys won't have heard of these guys, but there's like Mark Haley's, Ali McCoy's, Richard Goff's, Andy Gorham, Chris Woods, all those things. I just couldn't believe the quality that was there. And then I actually doubted myself at the start, am I good enough to be there? But, you know, I probably played a part of one of the most successful eras of the club's history. You know, obviously we've got 9 championships in a row. I got the last 6. I won 3 cups as well. Well, 6 cups. We won the Scottish Cup 3 times and the League Cup 3 times, obviously the championship 6 times. So I won 12 major trophies there. Obviously played in the Champions League there. It was just a different level. And but the team itself or the club itself is, you know, it's, I think it's got 50 or 60,000 seats and it's season tickets, basically full, sold out every week, season tickets. You can't get a ticket there. Rangers supporters will fly all over the world. They'll travel all over. I mean, they'll go from the south of England to watch a home game at Ibrox. But it's just, it's a passion. And I think once you play for a club like that, bearing in mind I was an Aberdeen supporter, you play at a club like Rangers, it almost changes how you feel. Because it's just the sheer passion. Like I said about Real Kashmir, the fans are so passionate. It's very similar to Rangers supporters. You know, they might not have, you'll have people that maybe can't afford to, you know, they struggle in life to pay bills and do, but they always find money to get a season ticket to watch their team play. And it's an honour. And every player that I've played with say the same thing. It's just, it's an honour to have been, you know, been able to play for a club like that.
Rangers' journey till now is rise, fall, rise. So, how, as I explain, you feel about it? You know, they're not able to compete on top for very regular. They rise and then fall and rise. Mm. So, now they have Liverpool legend Steven Gerrard as a manager.
Yeah.
So, can you talk about these two things and how currently you think Rangers are doing under Gerrard?
Well, I think, you know, it was sad to see it. You know, I'd left to go to Leeds United. And shortly after that, obviously there was a financial issue and, you know, a few things happened and they had to start again in the third division in the lowest league. But even then, you know, they're getting 40, 50,000 people at games. I remember watching one of the TV channels, sports channels, and the English Premiership was on, Arsenal and what have you. And it actually said that the biggest attendance in Britain that day was Rangers in the third division. You know, they had more supporters in Liverpool and all that kind of stuff. So the support was always there. They never dwindled. They kept going. That's just the passion of them. But it was sad to see. You know, they're going down playing and they're playing against part-time semi-professional teams. Very, very difficult. They went through a few managers. Ali McCoy's the manager for a while. But, you know, I think under Steven Gerrard, they've definitely stabilised a little bit. You know, they've had they had Pedro Coutinho before that, Mark Warburton before that. But I think with Steven Gerrard, it's like he's a top player. And I think with his reputation, he's going to get longer than most other managers would to make Rangers success. And I think he's beginning to do that. But again, Celtic, they've got 9 championships now. They're going for 10, which is a world record. It'll be our 9 in a row record. So he's under a little bit of pressure to try and stop that. But Celtic, you know, they're playing in the Champions League every year. They've got, you know, a lot more money, you know, stashed away. So it's going to be very difficult for Gerrard to stop that. And I think Rangers supporters, it's not about Europe. It's about stopping Celtic getting that 10th championship.
You might not be aware of this, but and maybe many of our listeners are not aware of this. Sunil Chhetri and JJ went on to give trial with Rangers FC, and it's in I think early 2011 or 2010. I think they both went together for a trial at Rangers FC, and I think they did a very good trial. But again, the visa, work permit, and everything stopped them for signing them. Yeah. Now of course, our women team star Bala Devi, she's playing for Rangers women team. So can you tell us about this? How Bala Devi move has been, you know, highlighted in Scotland or among the Rangers fans about?
Well, I think it's very good for Indian football, because again, it's something else that puts Indian football on the map. I remember there was a spell when a lot of American players came to Rangers. I think there was Bocanegra, Claudia Arena. A lot of American players came, and I think what it does is it actually gives like Europe confidence in like the USA and India, you know, because obviously it's a USA at that point was a new nation for football. I know India has been playing football for a long time, but I think since the inception of the ISL, T players are now, you know, people know the league, but they still they question the level. And I think when you see players coming over, obviously it's a women's team, which, you know, that's getting bigger and bigger in the UK as well. America's big for women's soccer, they call it. But in the UK, it's now getting bigger. There's I think it was Alex Morgan has just left the USA to come and play in England. So I think the UK is now, as a women's part, is now putting a stamp on the game as well. And I think there's going to be more Indian players. You know, as I say, the visa things, as you said, the visa thing's very difficult. But I do think there's players like Sunil Chhetri, all those players, you know, they could come and play in Scotland and England. But I think it's very, and I think they'd love the challenge of playing somewhere different. I think it's all, I think, you know, I feel for some of the players in India is that, you know, I'm not saying they're always going to be stuck there, but there's not many playing anywhere else. And I think it would be great just for the, you know, just for the whole game in India, but also for the players themselves to go and try something else, something different. And then when they finish playing, they go into coaching. And they've got different ideas. It's not just the Indian way. There's different ways. But hopefully someday that'll happen.
So we talked about Rangers and their struggle. You know, another former team, Leeds United, after I think 16 years, they're back in Premier League.
Yeah.
So what was the experience to you know, play for Leeds United and then play against Manchester United? You know, they have one of the fiercest rivals. So how was the experience playing in England for Leeds United for you?
No, it was very good. I must admit, I found that you know, it was like a different level compared to Scotland. Scotland's at a very, very high level, and obviously we played in the Champions League, Juventus and Bayern, Borussia Dortmund, those teams. But when you go to England, you're playing it week in, week out. You know, my first game was against Arsenal, played against Mark Overmars and Ray Parlour and Ian Wright. I think we drew that day, and then you talk about Manchester United. You know, I played against Beckham and Giggs. I was up against Beckham. We beat them. The first game I played against Manchester United, we won 1-0. We beat Manchester United, and you know, obviously we played Liverpool, Steve McManaman. I think just the level and the fame of the players you play against is incredible. That, you know, you manage to be in the same field as them, and you know, I just think it's sad. They turned out a little bit like Rangers. You know, it was a financial issue. They lost a lot of money, and then they had to, you know, drop down the leagues again. But I think it's 16, 17 years that they've been out of the league, and I can't believe how fast that time's gone. But I think it's the Premier League needs Leeds United, and they're a massive club. And you know, I know firsthand that it's another set of passionate supporters. And they've been very patient. I know that when they played in League One and the Championship, they're still getting 40,000 people at the games, just the passion of the whole thing. And I know that the manager they've got now is one of the most respected managers in the world. But as I say, I've been very fortunate in my career to have, you know, played at good levels and played with fantastic players, played against fantastic players. And it's good to see both my clubs back up, former clubs back up there, you know, challenging and or back where they belong.
When you played for Leeds against Manchester United, did Sir Alex said something to you when you?
No, he didn't. But I remember one thing. As I was walking into the stadium, going out of my car to the stadium before the game, one supporter says to me, Leeds United supporters, because there's a rivalry between Leeds United and Manchester United. One of them came up to me and he says, I don't care if you lose every game this season, but you have to win this game today. You know, it's just different. It's a passion with the whole thing. But Alec Ferguson, when he first went to Manchester United, he actually tried to take me from Aberdeen to Manchester United, but Aberdeen wouldn't let me go at the time. So.
Yeah, and at that time when you joined Rangers, it's what, nearly £1 million deal, you know, and that time that £1 million was a big transfer fee, you know. So I know how much Rangers have paid to get your service. So talking about your life, you also spent your majority of life in the USA also, in coaching and everything. How was that experience in USA for you?
It was good. I first of all went over there to coach a few youth teams, and I wanted to sort of take it easy a little bit. And I ended up running the whole club. Obviously, there's boys and girls. The idea is to try and get them college scholarships in the USA colleges. So there's also a little bit of pressure in that. You know, it was a big club. You're dealing with parents and issues like that. But I enjoyed it. I was there for what, just under 10 years. And then during that time, I coached the professional team, Phoenix. It's now called Phoenix Rising. It was called Phoenix FC Wolves at that point. That was a great experience. You know, again, it's a little bit like India. You're flying all over. You know, you're two flights to get to a game, and just full of challenges. You know, and at one point the club ran out of money and couldn't pay the players, so I had to deal with all that. But it just gave me the bug to go and continue. Coaching at the professional level, but I enjoyed it. The one thing in the USA is that you have to work. You know, I remember I coached three games at youth level, three games in three different states in one day. So I had three flights, I took three separate car hires, three different games in three different states. That's just what you have to do in the USA. I also had a time when I was coaching Phoenix FC, but I was also coaching the youth teams. But the youth team had qualified for a tournament in Hawaii, so I'm flying from Phoenix to Hawaii. I flew back and forward three times in the space of, 5 days. But that's just how life is in the USA. They want, for every dollar, they want an extra pound of flesh for every dollar they pay you. But as I say, it was a great experience, and it set me up a lot, the traveling-wise, for coming to India.
So, and talking about India, then you played in I-League second division, coach in I-League second division in I-League. But ISL is still there. So what are your thoughts on ISL? Do you think that overall job ISL has done to bring that limelight of Indian football is commendable?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think it's putting a bit more of a spotlight on Indian football, you know, I remember when it first started, the Del Piero's and Roberto Carlos and obviously Berbatov and Robbie Keane. I think USA did something similar. You get the big names in, and it puts a spotlight on, makes it more famous. I think they're doing a fantastic job. I think at the start the season was very short, but I feel both leagues, the I-League and the ISL, they have to play more games. It has to be a longer season. Sometimes they've got the Super Cup, sometimes they play it, sometimes they don't. I think it should be something during the season, like a home and away game, or so there's more games, and I-League teams can play ISL teams during the maybe a midweek or something. But I just think there needs to be more games for the developmental of the development really of Indian football. And based on the situation this year, I know that I-League as a whole, it might be a shorter season. It's already 22 games as it is. To make it shorter, it's going to be very, very tough, you know. But I think the ISL, it's getting better and better. It's stronger and stronger. And you can see the coaches that are beginning to attract now. I think maybe the restrictions might be off a little bit. I know each coach and player had to be verified by the league. I think at one point no Indian coach was allowed to coach ISL teams, and obviously I would imagine that's changed now because criteria has changed. But I understand what they're trying to do, but like everything else, things can be better, maybe at one or two changes, but I think they're definitely going the right direction.
So talking about changes, there is another big change which is coming back to Indian football. It was there before. It's 3+1 foreign rule, for foreign player rules in ISL, in I League this season for sure, and then ISL in upcoming seasons. What's your take on this decision? Do you think it will help Indian players and Indian football to grow quickly?
I think in the long run, it'll help. I think it'll help Indian, the national team as a whole. I think selfishly for me as a coach, you know, it was, I like to organise things early and get players on board and what have you, but, you know, I was expecting 6 players and suddenly it went to 4, including 1 Asian player, which is fine. But I think that should have been announced maybe 6 months prior so that teams can, you know, get ready to sort it out. I feel for some of the foreign players that have made their careers here and helped the Indian game that, you know, they'll almost be discarded because they're reducing the foreign players. But, you know, even I think what they should have done is maybe go 6-5 this year, 4 the following year, gradually done it. But it is what it is, and we've got to get on with it. But I understand the reason. One of the things I learned early on in India was, you know, I'm trying to find an Indian striker. But you can't get Indian strikers because it's all foreign players that play there. Same as centre-backs. So I think it's forcing coaches like myself to rely on other players in those areas. You know, you look at the I-League in particular, and it's the same in the ISL. You know, your 6 players or 5 that could play was, you know, either 2 strikers, 2 centre-backs, and 1 midfield player. And that's how every team lined up. And I think for the national team, it's good. And it's going to take time. You know, it's going to take time. You know, obviously I've been, you know, you're, particularly in the I-League, because you've got ISL above you, you know, and as I said before in the show, that the ISL, I've got the better Indian players than the I-League players. So, you know, it is what it is. And like I said earlier on, it's in my time in India, I've had to adapt and compromise and change and do whatever. And this is no different. But as I say, I just think it should have been planned a little bit, you know, previously, maybe halfway through last season. I know there was a COVID issue. And maybe go 6-5, 4-3, or to whatever they want to do. But, you know, they've done it their way, and yeah. Because I think for me it was hard because, you know, I've got 6 foreign players, and I'm quite a loyal person. And you know, obviously I've had to make, which I can't say at the moment, I've to make made a number of changes. So
tough choices you have to take.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So just last question before we move on. What do you think Indian football need to do better to improve from our current state? You know, do you think something is missing in India which need to be changed if India wants to, say, go on to play the World Cup or compete for the qualifiers in the World Cup? What we need to do to do it?
Yeah, I think I personally think that I haven't seen too much of a national team, but from what I've heard and the limited knowledge I've got, I think, you know, a lot of teams in India try and play like, you know, Barcelona, you know what I mean? And it's like, try to do that in Scotland. Players in Scotland aren't, I'm not saying they're capable of it, but that's not their strengths. I feel that, you know, there has to be a different way to play. I think you've got to, based on the strengths and weaknesses of Indian players, you've got to find a way that's successful for that team. You know, I know, to be honest with you, I liked what Stephen Constantine did. I saw a lot of that. He was, you know, and I think you've got to remember he was successful based on what he had. And again, you know, when years and years to come, you know, younger players coming through are going to get better and better. But I think teams and maybe clubs are very stuck on trying to play the perfect game. And it's okay because you've got some foreign players in there. Obviously, the foreign players are reducing now. But, you know, you've got to, each Indian player has to play to their strengths. And I'm not saying they're not capable of it, but it's not their style. You know, you look at the players from the Northeast, they're, you know, smaller in stature, they're, you know, very, very technical. You go to the North, like Kashmir, they're big, strong, physical players. I think it's got to be a bit of a mix. But, you know, it's going to take time like everything else. And I know Igor Stimac's got his own ideas as to what he wants to do and how he wants to play. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays. But I do feel India as a whole, you know, you can actually predict how 90% of the teams are going to play. You know, you look at Owen Coyle's come in and at Chennai in and obviously now at Jamshedpur, you know, he mixed things up, played a totally different way to other teams. You know, Chennai were struggling and then suddenly, you know, they get to the playoffs.
They reach the final.
And then, you know, so I think certain things have to change in India.
Okay. This is last bit. After you get success in the Real Kashmir, did you get any job offer from other I-League, other ICC club, even the jobs in Europe? Did you get any offer?
Yeah, well, I've had one or two in the I-League. But to be honest with you, I've got an emotional attachment to Real Kashmir. I'm the only coach they've ever had. I've got a great relationship with the ownership group. It's almost like the perfect job, but maybe not in the right place, if you know what I mean. If it was a bit closer at home, it'd be better. But no, it'd be very difficult for me to leave and go to another I-League team. You know, obviously, the club as a whole, I think, have got ambition to go to the ISL at some stage. You know, we're still trying to find our feet a little bit. But I would love, I'd love to see Real Kashmir in the ISL.
On that note, you know, big thank you to you, David Robertson, for joining us today. It was amazing to hear of your journey from Scotland to USA, then to India.
Yeah.
And we hope that you will be back here soon for I-League and might bring the I-League title home for Real Kashmir this season. Okay, yep. So to our viewer listeners, don't forget that you can listen to all our episodes of the Beyond the Score podcast at your leisure on Spotify, iTunes, JioSaavn, Gaana, and other major platforms. You can also catch them in the video form on our YouTube channel, KNLaw TV. Until next time, this is your host, Ashish Negi, signing off. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.